8. God says children are gifts. They're blessings. They're rewards. They're wonderful things that we should treasure. And if it's, when we think about the blessings that we have in our lives, what do we want to do with something that is a gift to us? Something that's a blessing to us? We want to take care of them. We want to use them the right way. We want to show God we appreciate the blessings and the gifts that He has given us. Well, look at Psalm 127 in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. One thing that says to me is if we want to care for our blessings, if we want to show God we appreciate the gift of our children, we must build our families as God would have it. The Lord must build our house. The Lord must build our family. And that means we look to the Scriptures. We look to God's Word for how we should be as fathers, as parents, as grandparents. But it also means that I look to God as the ultimate example of what it means to be a father. What it means to love and care for children. And so today I want us to see how our Heavenly Father cares for us so that we know how to care for our own children. And the first thing I want to say to you is we need to view children as God does. And that just goes back to what I just mentioned. They're blessings. They're gifts. Psalm 127 says. You know, some people they like the idea of children, but after they have them, they look at them as a burden. Takes away my time, takes away my money. I got to do this, I got to do that, instead of seeing children as the gifts and the blessings that they are. And most blessings come with responsibility. They come with things that we have to do to be able to enjoy them properly. And so we need to view our children as blessings. And as we look at how God cares for us, His children, and if we emulate that, if we become like Him, it'll help us to view our children as blessings. I want you to look for a second in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. God doesn't just say that our children are blessings, but He views us as blessings, as wonderful things that He appreciates. In Luke 12 and verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. God cares for these little bitty birds. And yet, He knows every hair on your head and on my head. That's how deeply God cares for us. God views us as blessings. God appreciates us. God loves us. And we need to view our children that way. And that's the first step to loving our kids and caring for them the way God does for us. And the second point I want to say this morning is we need to learn to love our children like God loves His children. And we're going to spend all the rest of our time this morning on this point. And we've got a few other points that we're going to look at in our lesson tonight. But this is going to take a while because God's love is deep. And He shows it in many different ways. We need to love like God loves. That means spending time with our kids. Look with me in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. You know, God spends time with us, and sometimes we don't even realize it. We don't even realize how much He wants to be with us. And when we understand that, we see how deep His love is for us. Psalm 139, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. You know, God's love for us is not some involuntary effect of His divine nature. It's not just, well, you know, God is love and so He loves us. You know, sometimes I think we take God's love for granted. God is a personal being. His actions are personal, voluntary actions. And His love for us is of His own choice. And when you think about what it says about God here, what David understands about the Lord and His relationship with Him, he knows when He sits down, he knows when He rises up. Oh, well, that's because God is omniscient. He knows everything. Well, there's a sense in which we can talk about that from a technical standpoint, and that's true. But God knows everything about us because He wants to know about us. He's intimately acquainted with all our ways because He wants to be intimate with us. The God of heaven, the God who created all things, is personally interested in each one of us. Think about how that makes you feel to know that. How deeply interested God is in you personally. Now I want you to take that love that God shows us and think about that with your kids. One of the most meaningful ways to show love to someone is to show a desire to spend time with them, to know them, to just be with them. And that's how we can show love to our kids. Spending time with them, being with them. Taking time out of our day to show them we love them and we want to be with them. You know, fathers especially, including myself, we don't often like to get in the floor and play. We don't like to play house. We don't like to read about princesses. And, you know, even the boy books, you know, the knights and the whatever it is, dragons, you know, sometimes that gets old. But why should we do it? To show our kids that we treasure them, that they're blessings, that we love them and we want to spend time with them. And so we'll do the things that they enjoy because we want to be with them. And you'll soon find out that the joy your children get from spending time with you is contagious. And you'll start getting joy out of things that you didn't get joy out of before. God gets joy out of being with us, being in a relationship with us. And we'll get joy out of being in a relationship, spending time with our children, if we do it. Love is not just spending time with our kids. But love is being a refuge for them. Love is being a source of strength. Let's read the next several verses in Psalm 139, beginning with verse 7. David says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. And your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and night are and light are alike to you." What does David think about when he thinks about God's presence in his life? And what that means. As he looked back on his life, God was always there in his time of need. And helped him through those tough situations. There are times in our lives where we feel like we just can't get past it. Where we just can't go on. And yet as we trust in the Lord, as we read His Word, as we pray to Him, He builds us back up. He keeps us going. When we thought there was no way out of the darkness, there was light in the Lord. as your kids grow, as your kids develop, there's going to be some scary things they're going to face as they learn about this world. Some things that they're going to need help with. They're going to need a refuge. They're going to need arms to go to. They're going to need strong arms to go to that they know will help them, will protect them. And I want you to think about, we can't be a refuge unless our kids see us as approachable. What do I mean by that? Some kids see their fathers especially as distant. You know, yeah, I know, you know, I know he's there. Yeah, I know he works and that's why we have food. But I don't know him. He's not a pro. I can't go to him. I can't talk to him about things. Our kids need to see us as approachable, as arms open. Our door is always open to our kids. And we can't be a refuge to them unless we recognize there are appropriate times for our kids to cry. There are appropriate times for our kids to be scared. There are things that scare me. And I know there are things that still scare you when you think about it. And so it's appropriate for our little kids to be scared sometimes, to cry. And it's okay for us to tell them it's okay to be scared. And it's okay to cry. It's how God says to us, I know this world is scary. And God tells us in many different times in the Scriptures, I know it's scary, it's tough, but I will help you to get through it. And we need to send that message to our kids. We're a refuge. We're a strength. You can always come to us. You can always cry on my shoulder, and I will help you. We can't be a refuge unless we learn how to comfort. Being masculine, being a man, is also learning how to comfort. Learning to be strong by letting others be weak. And we need to do that as husbands, and we need to do that as fathers. We need to learn how to comfort. Because God, the strongest being there is, He comforts and He lets us cry to Him. But we must not only be a refuge, but a source of strength so that they learn to face their struggles. Look at verse 10 of Psalm 139. Even there, your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. We need to let them cry. We need to comfort them, but we need to take their hand and say, don't just back down. I'll help you get through this. Don't just run away scared. Don't just say, I can't, but I will help you say, I can. And God does that for us, and we need to be able to do that with our kids. Take their hand and lead them through the scary times, through the tough situations. Verse 12, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. We must encourage them by reminding them that no situation is too difficult with God. Part of the way that we're a strength to them is by showing them that God is our strength. It's not us as fathers. Yes, we're a source of strength, but only because God is our strength. And we know that with God we can get through any situation. And so as we lead them to God. And that's how we can be strength for them. We need to show them that we have absolute confidence in their ability to overcome tough situations with God's help. They can do it. And we need to tell them that we believe that if they trust in the Lord. Love is being a refuge and a source of strength. Love is disciplining when necessary. Look in Job chapter 34. Job 34 and verse 21. Several times the biblical writers say things like we saw in Psalm 139, where David says, you know, wherever I go, to the heavens, to Sheol, you know, anywhere on the earth, God is there. And so David spoke of God's presence as a comforting thing through tough situations. I want you to listen to how Job speaks of God's presence in Job 34, verses 21 and 22. For his eyes are upon the ways of a man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness or deep shadow where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. You know, that's really the same thing that David said. There's no darkness where God is not there. There is no place where you can hide from God. But he said, if you are a sinner, that is no longer a comforting thing. That is a scary thing. And in one sense, that is part of God's example that we need to follow as fathers. Because what does that say? I am never, ever, ever, ever going to condone sin. I'm never going to overlook it. There's no place where I can hide and it's going to be okay that I'm in sin before God. And our children need to realize we will help them to overcome that. We can tell them we believe they can overcome something, but we will never overlook their sin. We will never just say, oh, it's okay, you're just little kids. We must teach them that things are wrong from the time that they're young. And they must have a confidence that we will never condone it. We will never say sin is okay. There's never a time, there's never a situation where it's appropriate to sin. Look in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. The Hebrew writer quotes the book of Proverbs here and makes some important applications about how God treats us. And there's some things that we can learn about as fathers as well. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline... Think about what he says here. If you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. God disciplines. God wants us to know when we need to turn from sin. You look at Israel, he gave them time to repent. He told them what was right and wrong. He never condoned sin, but he gave them time to repent. And they didn't repent. So what did he do? He brought nations against them. He brought punishment. He brought a rod, he said, against them. And we as fathers need to follow God's example. Not the example of this world. This world is increasingly saying that discipline is wrong. That spanking our children is wrong. But I will follow God and I will not follow this culture. Because I trust in God's wisdom. And we're already seeing the products of the wisdom of this world. Now we need to recognize, we need to make sure we're not spanking our kids out of anger. We need to make sure that our spanking, our discipline does not turn into beating, does not turn into abuse. Because then that becomes sinful. But spanking our children, teaching them that things are wrong, is something that is right and holy in the eyes of God. And we need to do that. God says that he does that with us, and we need to follow his example. And so our kids need to recognize we will never, ever, ever say sin is okay. And we will discipline when they do things that are wrong. But it's because it's for their good. It's because we want them to do right. It's because we love them and we want them to learn from it. And we know, as it says here, it's sorrowful in the moment, but we know later they will appreciate it because of what it taught them, because of how it trained them. It made them a better person, and it will make them better servants of God if we discipline them, if we follow God's example. But let me issue one more warning about this. We need to know when patience or discipline is necessary. As I said, there were times when God was just patient. He did not bring discipline in every situation. He had to pick and choose when it was time to bring the discipline, when it was appropriate to do that. And we need to do that with our kids. We need to recognize that sometimes just a stern warning of this is wrong, you don't need to do it again, is also appropriate. We need to think about, even now, I don't always get things on the first time. And so I'm thankful that God is patient with me sometimes. And our kids are not going to always get things the first time. And so we've got to be very diligent in trying to be discern when it's time for patience and when it's time for discipline. But we must not be afraid to discipline because God said it is a good thing. Well, there are many things that we could say love is and how God shows us His love. But the last thing I want to mention to you this morning, love is sacrifice. 1 John 4 and verses 9 and 10. 1 John 4 and verse 9. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is love, He says. This is where we see God's love most clearly, in that He sacrificed for us. He gave His Son. And in one sense, He gave Himself, because Jesus is God. Love is sacrifice, and we have to sacrifice to love our children. Do we always put our children off so that we can do what we want to do? Do we always put our children off so that we can have what we want to have? Now, I think many times we probably go to the other extreme and we try to give our children everything that they want. And that's a terrible thing to do, a way to hurt our children as well. But sometimes we selfishly, I want to do this, I want to have this. And we don't think about what our children need, and even sometimes the things that they want. And so we need to sacrifice to show our children love, to provide the things that they need, and sometimes just the things that they want. Not only does sacrifice communicate love, but it's teaching them, if we don't sacrifice, it's teaching them selfishness instead of service. Oh, well, my mom and dad always had what they want, so didn't pay attention to me, so then they end up doing that to others and end up doing that to their children. And we have a world full of selfish people today, probably because of a bunch of selfish parents. And so we need to think about that. We need to learn to love like God loves. And love is sacrifice. Love is disciplining when necessary. Love is being a refuge and a strength. Love is spending time with our kids. And we need to follow God, the model father. Again, we'll have some more things to say about that tonight as we look at the way that God cares for us as our Father. But what better example to follow? And today is a day where fathers are honored, and so we honor our Father. We worship Him and we praise Him because He is a great Father. He is a loving and blesses us in so many different ways. Let us study Him. Let us learn to be like Him as fathers so that our children will want to honor us in the same way. Your Father does love you. But even when we love our children, again, we can't just overlook things. We can't just pretend like they haven't done things wrong, and God will not do that. God is just. And the Bible says in very clear terms, He will not overlook the guilty. But He has made a provision. He sent Jesus to die in our stead, to be a sacrifice, to be a way for us to have forgiveness through His death. And so God loves us deeply, and He wants you to come to Him. And so if you haven't been baptized into the death of Jesus, we invite you to do that this morning. And if you have, and you've rebelled against the Father, repent of your sins, and we're here to pray with you. Whatever we can do to help you, please come as we sing the song that's been selected.